Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On X-Men the Movie. And we briefly talk about devils and demons because, of course, it's 666. For more information about the links and the news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Thanks for rubbing it in, you bastard.
Welcome!
Hello, my geeklings!
Hello! Welcome back.
6606.
That's right. We're actually
technically 06-06-06. Thank you very much.
That's true. And according to numerology, the O screws it up.
We are recording this on June 6th in the year 2006.
Right.
In the sixth month.
You probably aren't listening to this on that day.
In which case, for Kalis, get away from the window!
Yeah, so, you know.
The world might have blown up by now, and we don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Because it might be over after this.
Everything on Greenwich Mean Time has already been obliterated. We're waiting for it to get to us.
Right. If you're listening to this podcast, we assume you didn't get swept up in the rapture by Jesus, who came like a thief in the night. You're going to sweat it out with the rest of us here on planet Earth while the waters boil on the turn to red and the moon
does
whatever.
I sense sarcasm, Captain.
No, I'm just saying, if you're listening to this, you probably are in trouble,
right?
I have a feeling my mom's in a bomb shelter.
Dulos, right, if you're listening to this, what did you do, man?
Yes, one of our listeners who is
a pastor,
won't be listening to this because he'll be already transformed in pure energy and will be living up.
Aaron, come on.
Actually, guys, I seem to think that...
I don't think he's a subscriber to this particular theory.
The 6606 is simply a sign. It's not the actual beginning
of the apocalypse.
It's only one sign. I mean, you know, another sign is later when... I mean, you know,
but isn't Jesus supposed to come down like a thief in the night, steal away...
Dead horse being whipped right now.
Steal away the people who deserve to go to heaven so they don't have to suffer through the
agonies of Carrot Top.
Yeah, but the apocalypse doesn't start on 6606. The apocalypse is only heralded by it.
Okay. So we got a couple more days to get the podcast out before.
6606 is a date reference. I think it's supposed to be this person will be marked by 666.
Well, but
only the movie
know.
Industry has come up with this date as being important.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All righty. Anybody have a good geek week?
I did. I discovered Pink Five, a Star Wars fan film that I had never seen before.
Several years old, but...
It is several years old. There's also Pink Five Strikes Back, which was a great deal of fun. I highly recommend these. Go watch them. They're unique. They're interesting. And I may actually be able to line up the actress who played Pink Five for an interview.
Female X-Wing pilot who was on the Death Star run.
Yeah. The premise is she's a valley girl in space who's dating Han Solo behind Princess Leia's back.
Nice.
Who is just like the can't-do-anything-right girl of the X-Wing squadron. And she's just hilarious. The actress is great. The premise is really funny, and it's well executed. So
I've heard this is great. I've actually tried to see it before, and for some reason cannot make it play on my Mac. I have no idea why.
I had a few troubles trying to get it to run, too, but with a little engineering, I managed to get it going right. But I also tried out Black and White 2.
Oh, yeah?
What did you think?
I kind of got bored.
I gave it back
15, 20 minutes.
Because it was so crunchy in terms of having to do every damn little thing and manage your creature and
micromanage.
Driving me crazy.
I find my creatures really dumb, so I just got frustrated with the creature.
However, I'm playing Galactic Civilizations Eidos, and that is freaking awesome.
I just downloaded the demo for that. I haven't installed it yet.
Did you ever play Masters of Orion?
Oh, a long time ago,
Just like that, but better. And
this was
really
suggested
cool.
by one of our listeners.
Yes, and one of our buds,
Hugh.
Scott. Yeah.
Yes.
And, man, you damn pusher, because that thing kept me, first few nights I had it, kept me up till 4 or 5 in the morning.
And what is it called again?
Galactic Civilizations 2.
Galactic Civilizations 2.
Comes highly recommended.
Dreadlords.
And I am currently waiting by my mailbox for my copy of Heroes of Might and Magic 5.
Eh.
Oh, no. It's turn-based, so I get to play it and have fun.
Yeah.
And the graphics look great. I'm very excited. So, yeah.
My week has been very ungeeky. I'm moving, so I've been just painting and scrubbing the whole week. My hands actually ache.
They've ached before.
They have ached before for very different reasons.
Back when he was single.
Back when I typed a lot.
One-handed.
Oh, by the way, this weird thing. So I bought Black and White 2 and the expansion pack from EB Games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I did not like it, I returned it and said, this game doesn't work. Here, let me give it back.
Okay.
And they said, okay, here, buy something of equal value. So at that point in time, I got Civ 4. I brought it back, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to play Civ 4. I can borrow Dawn's.
Yeah.
So I want a space game. So I brought that back. In the time between me getting Civ 4 and bringing it back, it had changed in value $20 for some reason, and they had increased it. So they gave me $20 back. I made $20 on this strange...
It climbed back onto the top 10 list.
Yeah, something like that.
Something happened. It started selling again.
It was very, very odd.
Bizarre.
And suddenly, I got an extra $20, and I ended up buying another 3 games.
What happened, Matt, was you were the person that bought the one copy that put it over onto the top 10.
Yes.
Before then, it was number 11. But you bought that, you know, 4,100 billion.
I just didn't know that you could sell short on a video game, you know.
An investment that paid off.
By the way, just a follow-up on last podcast news story that Lisa did, where the rumor was that PlayStation was going to put out licensed games where you bought a license, not the actual disc.
Right.
That has been officially put to rest by PlayStation, who says, no, we are not planning on doing that. That is a false rumor that the discs are going to be just like they are now. You can't
sell. Really like to, but we can't figure out how to make it work.
So, according to the articles I read, they didn't say that right off the bat. It took them a little while to say that, oh no, that's an unsubstantiated rumor. We never plan to do that.
Well,
it actually took them a few days of people saying, we can't deny or confirm that.
You know? Well, normally companies do not respond to rumors. They just don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Microsoft or Sony, if a bad rumor
something like this that could kill sales, they
well,
would have to.
You know, a lot of rumors that come out, you know, they always have bad things. But apparently this hit like wildfire and it got so big that they actually had to respond, which is rare anyway. So
okay.
You know they were feeling the pressure from the consumers. Okay.
Let's do geek news.
Shall we do
okay.
Geek news.
Geek news.
Anyone? No.
I have a non-news story.
Go.
I have downloaded off of someone else's blog. That's right. And we will provide a link to this person's blog.
Excellent.
In 1982, Omni Magazine published a book of science and technology predictions.
Okay.
And so I have a list of the predictions made about life in 2006.
In 82. What happened in 82?
82. Well, I don't remember specifically.
82, I was like 9, 10?
Well, then I must have been 7 because I'm getting progressively younger than
right,
you.
Right, right,
right. Oh, nothing happened. So anyway. What did they...
All right, so some of the predictions. I'll do it as my first and second news story. All right. A satellite network in space, linked with a computer system on Earth, will greatly improve scientists' ability to predict earthquakes by the end of the century.
Eh.
No.
Have we gotten it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Big time.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, when have we ever gotten a warning from any earthquake that's happened?
We've had warnings, not for some of the big ones, but for, I believe there's a warning system in place.
For earthquakes?
I have never.
Well, I'm totally talking out of my butt now.
I've never heard anybody call up and say, go, you know.
We have seismographic institutes.
Oh, I know that.
So they're clearly studying something.
No, absolutely. Yeah, but they're not like to, you know, you got a. It's not like the hurricane warning system.
No, that's true. All
right. There's no earthquake Katrina.
A modern subway could carry passengers from New York to Los Angeles in 21 minutes at a cost of $54. Top speed of this proposed Planetran electromagnetic train, 14,000 miles per hour. In 2006, a high-density, ultra-high-speed network intelligent computer system is established.
That's
stupid. The computer will gain international credit loans, oversee operation of all world markets, and produce information for information of national and world budgets.
Okay, that's kind of the internet, effectively. They're kind of right.
Fiber optic computers may appear as early as 1990.
Almost.
Lasers will turn up inside of television sets. Small semiconductive lasers will decode signals used for all home entertainment functions, and devices that use them will cost no more than an old-fashioned television set.
Well, they're kind of going Bucky Balls, Bucky Strings, and CDs.
Yeah, I mean, DVD. Okay, so we have digital televisions, but laser thing, all right, not there, but...
Not quite.
Well, you could argue a DVD player is...
True.
Like that.
You're right.
An LP-sized laser computer disc will be able to store as much as 25 magnetic computer tapes.
These guys are... Who was it? Who's this?
Omni.
Oh,
this is Omni. Omni is pretty decent, you know?
You gotta Omni's trust out of
one
business,
day,
right? There is
one
no Omni.
One day we may still have these
Does Omni still exist? No, I don't
I think Omni's still around.
I don't think so.
It's on one of those publishers.
Omni will still be producing magazines.
Yep. Yeah. Though millions of dollars have been funneled into development of a working system, by 2000, bubble memory will be but a lingering memory from the pioneer days of computer expansion.
Okay.
What is bubble memory?
I don't know.
Well,
does anyone
there
know?
You go.
it's not even a lingering memory.
By 2000, computer-assisted fuel flow and engine control would produce cars that average 100 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
I wish.
We're at 60-something, is that it?
We can get up to 60, but you got to be... It's not happening. Even with Mindy's Prius, it was only like 50 at best.
Also by 2000, van-sized robo-buses will provide personalized mass transit in smaller urban areas. These thinking vehicles will have their own computers that will be programmed by riders for different locations.
Wait a minute.
The buses will not require a driver.
These guys are idiots. 20 years? I mean, come on.
Okay.
I wouldn't even predict that now.
Hey, man.
For 20 years from now.
Well, hold on. Here's one that's spot on. The transition from in-person shopping to cable or teleshopping will require thousands of technicians to install and maintain such systems.
True.
A new job network. In the future will require workers to... I mean, okay.
Yeah,
well,
but telemarketing.
Teleshopping
did not exist in
a new technology in the future that will work brilliantly will actually take people to run it. Boy,
I think
I'm a
perhaps,
freaking genius.
I think perhaps you're not seeing the tree for the forest.
No,
and I'll come back to the rest of these as my second portion.
Excellent. Aaron, hit it.
Okay. Well, we talked about this, I think, in our first episode or second episode, but actually it's happening. The first game addiction clinic is to open next month in Europe. Netherlands-based...
I need a ticket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to go.
Peter, actually, you
help.
Do.
Peter, your oblivion addiction can be cured here in the Netherlands.
I'm fine.
Hey, now hold on. I've designed games.
Right.
I'm working in the video game industry.
Right.
I have a BS in psychology. Perhaps there's a career opportunity here for
me. He definitely has a BS.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hey. That's a double entendre.
Here's a quote. There were 15-year-olds being brought to us who were showing the same behavior as 50-year-old gambling addicts.
What do they do if they're trying... Like, let's say you're like Peter, and you're addicted to oblivion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the video game equivalent of methadone? I mean, do they make you play Temple of Opshai?
Tetris.
You know, over and over again?
It's or Tetris.
What? Tetris?
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, it's Hunt the Wumpus. It's a game that you won't like.
Oh, God. I'm playing Diner Dash right now. Even these simple games can be incredibly addictive.
I saw a game online the other day that was... It was literally... You played a waitress, and your job was to bring food to a
table.
That's
Diner Dash.
Oh, is that
what
it is?
That's what I'm playing right now.
Oh, my God.
I bought it. My friend Nick, who you met briefly...
You bought Diner Dash?
He designed that.
It's like you bought a game. You bought that game. You can play for free online.
You can only play the first few levels for
and
free.
Don just Why would cruised you? Through
okay,
those.
Never mind. All right, my friend designed it. Yeah. I want to support
Go
him.
On Peter, here are some symptoms of gaming addiction.
Yes.
Anxiety?
No.
Panic attacks?
Yes.
I'm going to have to edit that down. Sleep problems?
Aaron.
You know you've got sleep problems. And dreaming about games, nightmares, and shaking.
I don't get nightmares or shaking, no.
I do occasionally
I have dreamed about games.
Yeah. I think really they're missing the point of the real symptoms that the amount of game playing is affecting the rest of your social slash work slash whatever you're supposed to be doing.
They should have lack of bathing, lack of sleep.
Have you met gamers?
True.
Gamer funk? Do you even know what gamer funk
That's
is?
True.
Have you ever been to a gaming convention?
Yeah.
Okay. When I went to the,
you mean a board gaming convention?
No, like a role playing game convention.
Yeah.
Gamer
Funk. Day one. Okay. There was some smells there, but it was like, I imagine when you press that many people into an enclosed space, body odors just mix and smell bad. But day two, there was something wrong down there. And day three, I was looking for a friend. I had to actually run through the gaming room, holding my breath, looking for him.
Well, how did you smell him?
So bad. Very badly.
All right, that's it for me.
You know, I have a question. Have any of you ever skipped two meals in a row because you were playing a game?
Yes.
Civ.
I mean, that should be one of the things that, like, they use. These should be the things that
they... Have you met me? They should distribute games to me as weight loss aids. This would be a great thing.
Civ 4 is a weight loss.
See, if only they could get, you know, like in order to make the game work, you have to be on a treadmill or something. You know, it's like, you know, that would be like the ultimate way to do it. It's like, you know.
They have those games. Dance Dance Revolution's one of them.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, come on.
So Wii. Scott Silverman, chairman and board of Verichip Corporation, has proposed implanting the company's RFID tracking tags in immigrants as a way of, and guest workers.
To do what?
Well, it's a way to
track their movements.
Track their movements. Know who they are.
Okay, there's only one acceptable way to do this.
And
right?
You can also scan them through the checkout line a lot faster.
Yeah. Beep. There's only one acceptable way to do this. That is for, you know, to give them a sporting chance to avoid it. So my suggestion would be to arm the Border Patrol with trank guns. They have to take them out as they cross the border, tag them, and release them back into the wild. That's the only fair way
to do this. On the ear. You have to do the ear tag.
Well, I think that this is more of a way to say, you know, okay, this guy's legitimate. This guy's overstayed his visa. This guy's, you know, it's like this is supposed to be not, I mean, this isn't for like illegal immigrants. I mean, because how do you get the things into the illegal
We've
immigrants?
Named this one Cheeto. Notice as he goes to this barrio housing unit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stupid. It's just, come on. Besides it being obviously immoral to sit there and implant a device.
I don't think we've actually insulted Mexicans yet, so there we go. We can check off another group.
Kick ass. I rock. Shall we? All right. Android developed in South Korea.
Hemorrhoid?
No, Android.
Android.
The hot one?
Yeah,
the
she's actually kind of cute, except she has dead eyes, which is not good. She can hold a conversation, make eye contact, and express joy, anger, sorrow, and happiness. But the question is really, is she good with kids?
No, that's not the real question.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the second question.
School-age tot seemed to be making friends with her name is Ever One, a female android that made her debut this month in South Korea. The robot was built by... I'm so sorry. Big Moon Hong. I don't know.
Big Moon Hong?
Big Moon Hong, yeah. A senior researcher with the Division for Applied Robot Technology at the Korea Institute of Industrial Technology in Ansan.
I thought it was weird that they based her off of a real woman.
Yeah, she looks like a Korean school teacher in her early 20s.
But, like, they had the real woman there next to it.
Yeah.
And you're like, they didn't just go... And just make one up.
No,
they actually try
looks,
to copy it.
110 pounds, 5'3".
It's
five
probably easier to copy than
she's
imagine.
Only 110 pounds?
110 pounds, yep.
Damn, that's pretty impressive.
Up. She doesn't walk around or anything, though.
Yep.
She just sits there?
Interesting. Did any of you ever read?
She can understand 400 words, speak, blink her eyes, and display several facial expressions.
Yeah,
she doesn't think about walking and moving.
She's kind of like... Yeah.
Did any of you read the Fantastic Four comics?
Sometimes.
Do you remember their receptionist?
No.
A humanoid android that was seated at the desk 24 hours a day.
They had a desk?
They had a reception desk, yes. Anybody
I thought they
could
were like
go
a
in
space station or something.
No.
Anybody could go to the Baxter Building,
yes,
where the Fantastic Four worked,
oh,
and they could petition for an audience through the android receptionist.
And she was like one of those Zoltar machines where it was just the torso.
No, yeah. She looked human, but if you ever looked over the desk, she had no legs. She was just a little puppet.
Yes, she was thing. The Zoltar machine.
Yeah.
You put in a quarter.
I want to be big.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Never did work, did it?
No, it never did. Fucking 5'8". All right.
All right, Don.
Hit it, Chewy.
To continue, Omni's predictions of the future.
Lame predictions of the future.
By 2010, high prices and decreasing supply of fossil fuels will limit their use to old buildings, cars, and airplanes, and specialized lubrication functions. The typical factory worker in Japan.
There's a joke there. There's a joke. Yeah. I'm looking. Can't find it.
That was a long pause. I was very disappointed.
We were working. We were working hard to find the joke, but...
The typical factory worker in Japan may be a robot by 2000. Also, by this time, the Japanese car will also be so enhanced with computer gadgets it will be virtually a robot itself.
Yes, but Japanese don't like to be referred to as robots. They just work a lot.
That's kind of true. I mean, the cars now, like, you can't just go in and, you know, pop the hood and fix the car yourself. Yeah. I mean, you pop the hood and it looks like, you know, a brain.
There's too much electronics in there to actually do anything.
No, the Prius is pretty damn... Have you seen that ad for the new, like, Toyota? They show all of these different robots over the years and the voices and how
HAL
and...
Knight Rider.
Yeah, it's weird. And then they cut to the Prius going, turn light left in 35 feet.
I didn't
and
like that.
What?
Anyway. Yeah, it almost... They almost had it.
It almost makes
sense.
There's
something not quite there.
But not quite.
It's empty and soulless.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Editing a motion picture will consist of something of combining live-action scenes with a synthesized background. In this way, expensive location filming will be eliminated or at least used infrequently.
Ding, 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 ding.
They got one.
They got one.
By the end of the century, movie tickets could run as high as $30.
Well, almost there.
Almost there in Los Angeles, I'm telling you. Phoneless headphones will combine a miniaturized digital playback unit with a bone-conducting sound reproducer.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet.
A true pocket computer will combine a small personal computer with a full-color liquid crystal television set. You might type on it by gripping the sides in different ways.
Yeah, almost. Interesting.
Pretty close. Citizens will have access to bank credit at money machine terminals.
They didn't have
a worker
ATMs
will never
in
see
82?
His weekly paycheck because it will be directly deposited by the employer. Not in 1882?
No.
Nope. Well, they must have almost been there.
Video tech systems will use computer graphic displays to bring information to the home using telephone lines. Electronic newspapers will emerge, but they will use a new style of news writing based on abbreviated sentences and compressed information.
Called
Lead Speed
Podcasts.
Yeah. How's our compression doing, by the way? Finally, businessmen of the future will wear tight-fitting bodysuits that reveal the male body and makeup and wear makeup to their meetings.
What? That was the one girl in Omni. Like, you know what I really think?
Yeah.
I could have seen that been like a shot out in the dark, because you never know what the hell.
Well, all their sci-fi movies at the time kind of said that would be the case.
But everyone looks gay in those. Like, their predictions were always like, everyone looked gay. Well, like, they never did it.
I met a costume designer who did costume designs for sci-fi movies, right? And what she said was the problem with a lot of those earlier sci-fi movies is they never used organic materials for their costumes.
Yeah.
They always intentionally went as synthetic as possible. And it's impossible to make comfortable, realistic-looking clothes out of synthetics.
Yeah. The other problem, and this is the reason why Blade Runner is so – the costume design is so fantastic, is they try to only look forward. They never look to the past, which, you know, we always see returning styles. It's always tweaked. But there's always these returning styles. And Blade Runner is so awesome to take, you know, this old style of costume design. I mean, it looks like a 1920s look. And then tweak it to be sci-fi. I mean, it was just... So it never looks tired.
Actually, I really like it in Fifth Element. I know you hate that film, but
Are you kidding me?
I love the costume design.
So... fucking horrible, except for the straps on her.
You are like one of two people I've met in my lifetime who didn't like that movie. It seems to be a real universal favorite.
Really?
Beep, beep, beep,
no,
beep,
you're
beep.
The other one.
The Fifth Element is love.
No.
The Fifth Element is love.
There was so many
how can you come
movie?
To one element of a movie and damn the entire movie for that
the
one line?
The entire basis of the entire movie?
No.
I can't blame the entire...
She was the Fifth Element. She just needed love. She didn't say the Fifth Element was love.
No, she...
Yeah.
The end implies
she was afraid, and she's the Fifth Element. She is the Fifth Element.
No, because she was on the stupid platform at the end.
Because she's the Fifth Element.
No, but it didn't work until the love part happened.
No, she was afraid, and he loves her. I need you to say
and
it
Chris
to me.
Tucker, whatever his name was, unbearable.
Oh my God. He was incredibly
funny. Only movie I've ever enjoyed him in.
Exactly.
But it was a different... He belonged in a different movie.
He was hilarious. Okay, never mind. We'll go with this for years.
Yeah.
You guys are out of your mind.
Tangent.
All right, I'm done. Oh, no, I'm not done. I just real quickly, I wanted to get your opinion. I think the cover of The Advocate, which is the gay magazine, has Superman on the cover, and it says, is Superman too gay?
Yes.
Yeah.
They want to know if... because it's out there. People are talking about it.
Yes.
Any movie where they have to digitally dehance the crotch of the lead character raises questions.
And the fact that he's just overly airbrushed. He's too pretty. You know, there's nothing.
I agree. You look at him, you go, gay.
Way too pretty.
Did anybody see Apt Pupil?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember how that had the same problem?
No.
No.
The lead character was just, was just way too pretty, way too clean. It just was, it was
the boy?
The same.
The little boy?
The kid, yeah.
That's just because you like little boys.
I don't
boys.
Remember him being pretty.
I don't get that.
But for Apt Pupil, though, that's kind of an important plot point, that he needs to be attractive to the other character.
Why? They don't do anything together.
No, they don't do anything together, but it's a hook.
There's no sexual attraction between the two of them.
I wouldn't say there's none, but that's not the important part. The point is that there needs to be... it's an in for this character. It's hinted at.
I thought it was that he was...
if you watch it,
I thought it was a beautiful Aryan boy, but no.
Superman, I think...
yeah.
You know, although I did see the last trailer, and I thought he kind of... I've hated every trailer, trust me.
Yes.
And... the one I saw in the theater, I thought he actually played a good Clark Kent. There was like two little scenes in there. I went, huh.
Still too pretty.
I agree. Yeah. But
he looks 14.
Exactly.
That bugs me a lot.
And he's supposed to have a kid?
And he's supposed to have been gone for
a while.
And
she looks 12.
Yeah, this is absurd.
Like,
you
know. Like, come
on. All right, so you all agree. You all agree with The Advocate. Well, actually, I don't think The Advocate actually stated. They was asked the question. So, The Advocate, if you are listening, if the editors are listening,
you're right.
Yes.
Yes.
We all agree.
Okay.
Okay.
Petey.
Robert Jordan,
writer of the Wheel of Time
series has been diagnosed with amyloidosis. This is a disease which can be fatal. And in fact, it's a disease which might be fatal to him.
Yes.
Oh,
and they said that the median age for people who have what he has is to live 4 more years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And how old is
he
now?
Median, not average. Mm-hmm. Okay. How old is he now? Let's see. He's
in his 60s, I believe.
I think he's late. I think he's
7. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he's still pretty young.
Pretty young. He's not. He's never. I did a book signing with him, and mm-hmm. he's never been well. I mean, he's never been like sort of super
healthy.
You
did a book signing with him?
No. Excuse me. I went to a book signing with him.
Wow.
Yeah, and he.
Matt brought his book, and
I brought his book. Yeah.
We you want talk. Me to sign a couple of these?
Exactly. Yeah. Here, I can do it. I can copy your signature.
I'm going to be the insensitive asshole and say, Robert Jordan, finish your goddamn series.
Yeah. Well, that's
quick.
What he said is that he must finish it. He will finish it before he dies.
He says he's got. In his head, 30 years worth of books, which he plans on living to write.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah. So let's hope that
we wish
true.
Him. Send him good vibes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can't deal with another mystery of Edwin Drood in my life.
Exactly.
I just can't deal with
it. Have you ever read Robert Adams did something called A Stairway to Forever, and that he died. Second book in, and I'm in a permanent state of coitus interruptus over that. All right.
I don't even know why you said
Blue
that.
Lobe?
Nice.
All right, Matt.
All right, last. Batwoman is back, and she's a lesbian.
We have like this gay
like
superhero
this.
Theme going
yeah,
on.
It's true. It's going
666,
on.
666, the gay episode.
Yeah. Batman is about to make a comeback. She's a lipstick lesbian.
Batwoman.
Batwoman, yes. I'm sorry, did I say something else?
Batman.
Oh, sorry. Batman is a lesbian. Well, yeah, yes. But Batwoman comes back, and she's a lipstick lesbian who moonlights as a crime fighter. Her real name, Kathy Kane. She will appear in 52.
Kathy Kane?
Yeah.
That's an awful
so
name.
So she's a different character.
Peter Parker?
Right.
That's terrible.
Lois Lane? Lex Luthor?
I still say it's a bad... But it's like this close to Candy Cane.
But she's a different character? She's not... They're not changing the...
I believe it exists in the same continuity. It's not a remake.
She is in a different world. Superman and Batman do not exist in her world.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. But this is the different... Like, that's not her real name in the other ones. Like, they've made her a new... person's becoming Batgirl, right? Yeah.
The series is set in a world in which established superheroes Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman do not play a part. Mm. She'll appear in 52. She's a rich socialite.
She's 52?
No, she is going to appear in a book called 52.
Oh.
Mm. Yes. She will have a romantic history with another 52 character, ex-police detective Renee Montoya. Not only lesbian, but interracial. Excellent.
That's going to be a little confusing, because I think Montoya, I could be wrong, I think Montoya is an ongoing character in the Batman series.
I don't know.
So they're lifting supporting characters, but not the superheroes themselves.
Well, you can do that.
Basically, DC is making an end run at being ethnically and sexually diverse.
Why don't they make one of them handicapped?
By doing it by leaving the existing universe... So, like, it's okay to be ethnically diverse as long as it's not in our main continuum.
Right.
Could you keep the lesbians over there in that little universe, please? The gay market, universe?
How much you want to bet they market mature, too?
Others include...
They better, because I'll buy it if it's mature.
But if it's actually mature, I'm fine with that. If it's mature simply because she occasionally, like, makes eyes at another woman, I'll be very upset.
Right. Others include a Mexican teenager, Blue Beetle, who replaces the character's previous white incarnation, and the Great Ten, a government-sponsored team of Chinese superheroes. Woo! Regular characters Firestorm and the Atom, meanwhile, have been reinvented as black and Asian heroes, respectively.
So they're just going completely...
Why you gotta make the Atom, who turns into a short
it's
dude,
funny.
The Asian
superhero?
I'm
really hard-pressed to think of Asian...
Fuck you, DC! Fuck you!
I have a hard time thinking of Asian male superheroes.
There are none.
There's Sunfire.
Like, what's that one in the Super Friends?
Even freaking Iron... Super Samurai?
Who they had to make up for that?
All I want to know is, what the hell... Quasi-Nio ni Hayaku.
Yeah.
Man, what hell is that? And then he turned into a big... Quasi-Nio
He turned into Hayaku. A
whirlwind.
Asian, tornado.
He was American Indian.
Yeah. Didn't he turn into a tornado?
No, that's...
Apache Chief.
Apache Chief.
Quasi-Nio ni Hayaku?
No, that was...
I thought that was the Apache Chief, too.
You think?
I could be wrong, but
no. I may he said, and he turned into a big hurricane.
No, he says a Nick Chalk.
Yeah,
a Nick Chalk.
A Nick Chalk.
Like something like that.
Yep. Batwoman, who first appeared in July 1956, has not
there's
been
like
seen.
There's like an army of geeks listening to our podcast right now, going, "You dumbasses!"
No.
She was killed before by the League of Assassins and the Bronze Tiger.
Who was? Who was?
Batwoman.
Ah.
One commentator on this said, if you really want to, you know, make it sort of diverse and different, how about making an ugly superhero?
Yeah, just one. Please?
Do-do!
I'm trying to think.
That kind of ticks me off. You know, the whole, like, the fact that there are no Asian male superheroes, I'm None. Really annoyed right now.
Zero.
I just wrote a...
Sunfire. Sunfire.
All right, are we done?
I think we're done.
Let's move on.
Silver Samurai?
All right, my geeklings. As most of you know, this past week, it's been out for a week and a half now, X-Men Last Stand is playing in theaters.
Mm. So there's a little warning on this episode.
Warning.
This is your spoiler alert.
Yeah. Skip ahead a little bit. You'll hear us discuss 666 and bad guys in movies and stuff. But for now, we're going to be discussing X-Men, and there will be spoilers. So, first off, let's talk about the movie itself. All right.
So this specific movie, the third movie.
What'd y'all think?
It's all right.
But I thought it was just as good as the other two.
No, I thought it was much worse.
I think you're on crack.
I thought it was
that.
Much worse than the other two.
The first one I was kind of like, it's all right. The second one I really liked. Mm-hmm. And then the third one I was like, it was way too busy.
The second one, I loved Alan Cummings, and that was it. And he made that film for me.
It's hard for me to judge the first one because I walked into it with such abysmally low expectations. Mm-hmm. And it came in so far above any of my hopes that I was just simply blown away by it. I still am, you know?
For me, the first movie was although I thought the guy who played, or I thought, what's his face, playing Logan
Wolverine?
He's great.
He gets the part. And second I thought the movie? Second one was like, blah. I mean, completely.
Really? I really enjoyed the second one.
I really like the second one. I liked it better
zero
than the first.
Plot. I mean, the plot is lame. It's just fight scenes. And that's the reason why I think people don't like the third one is there's not as many fight scenes. I think it's too thinky.
It was thinky talky, in a bad soap opera way.
We're talking about
bad
the third
dialogue,
one.
The third one.
Yeah.
With bad dialogue, and it didn't link to itself.
But the third one actually had a reason for the bad guys to do what they were doing. The other two had the lamest, stupidest
bad guy motivations you could possibly think of.
Yeah, like the first racism.
The first one is the bad guy wants to make everybody mutants.
No. Which is...
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that was
Magneto
that was the plot.
Does because the senator.
Well, he's the bad
yes,
guy.
He's the bad guy.
Right. But the senator is the one who he's combating against because he believes that he's about to, you know. No. And they show Magneto.
The bad
at the first
guy
one.
Is Magneto. So his plot line was to turn everybody into mutants, which is stupid.
Because
the second one,
I don't think it's stupid.
The second one is.
But it's true that he's the bad guy.
The second one is that the second movie has a bad guy that's so lame that we barely can even remember his name. Captain Stryker or Captain Slater or whatever his name is.
Well, he was this kind of a secondary villain to the whole thing. The concept of it was, look what we've done. We have destroyed this man who hates mutants so much, mm-hmm. has lobotomized his own child,
right.
and is using that creature, it's not even a human being anymore,
right.
to manipulate the greatest telepath in the world to destroy and murder, commit
right.
genocide
right.
against all these people.
So he's
it doesn't
the bad
matter
guy.
Who he is. That, I mean, that's sort of secondary. It's he's more of a representation of what mankind is trying to do yes. to this other group.
Okay.
He's secondary. You know, I'd
secondary
say
to
there's a secondary to the scheme itself,
the intention.
Yeah, but
the intention of mankind.
You don't have to be mwah ha 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 to be.
No, and but I'd you say have to that, be at least kind of.
I'd say
know.
That movie has enough villains to go around. The mastermind character in that is a great little kind of side quiet tool, but he's a villain. Magneto
yeah,
still.
Like, that's like saying you know, Odd Job was the bad guy of Goldfinger.
He was one of the bad guys.
No, but he wasn't the arch villain.
Okay, granted.
No,
granted.
But yeah, who do you remember?
Magneto.
Very memorable.
In the
we
second,
know his name.
Magneto
yeah, but who do you remember? Odd Job or Goldfinger?
Both.
Goldfinger.
Oh, God.
No, I remember Odd Job way better
Odd
than Goldfinger.
Job.
But, okay. The third one, to me, I understood why the bad guys were pissed off.
Yeah, no, that was clear, but that was
that
the
was
problem.
The best
but
plot line of
no,
all three.
I will agree that that was
the best
very
possible
clear.
Plot
the
line of all
the
three.
Best reason.
Yeah, the best reason.
The best motivation. I will give you that much.
And you know what? That plot line is actually lifted from the comics and in the comics goes behind everything that goes on in the first two movies.
Yeah.
The reason the senators are basically trying to shut down the mutants, mm-hmm. and that's why Magneto does what he does.
Right.
In the first and the second movies. You know, this is only an extension of those two things.
Yeah, it's like weak.
Well, but my... I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I will agree that the ideas... Some of the ideas in here are very sophisticated and very cool. The idea that that they've got this cure for being a mutant. The idea mm-hmm. that they can shoot you with something and change you. I think those were really cool. But this movie was so busy. It had so many things going on. It had the boy with the wings that flies. There is like
that's nonsense that he pops in the last second to
yes.
save his dad and then leaves.
Like, there were too many useless plot lines.
Too many useless
yeah.
plot lines. And the problem was because they had all these things going on.
But they all have that.
No,
they don't.
No. The first movie, we had to go through half the movie just to get them all to meet and greet each other.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed
it was
trip.
An origin film.
I enjoyed
it's not
trip.
An origin film. It's a meet and greet film. Do you figure out why any of them got their powers?
It's an origin of the X-Men.
It's the origin of the X-Men. The
why
team.
Do you hate that?
Because it's fun
because
to watch.
It's about the X-Men. It's the first X-Men
well,
movie.
You know, why didn't we find out how they got all their powers if it's so important to figure out who they are?
Because they're mutants.
They're mutants.
They don't really...
They don't
there's no the, big, like, I got struck by lightning, now I can fly.
Yeah, it's not like that. They're not
one
like
one day
Fantastic
I have these
Four.
Powers.
You know, they don't... The X-Men, unlike other groups, do not all get formed at, like, the same time and brought together like, say...
The whole point of the movie was saying, we're born this way, don't judge us.
Yes.
And well, the third
Wolverine's
movie.
Not like that.
Wolverine
Actually,
is
Wolverine
immune.
Is,
he is,
yeah.
but then
he
someone
created,
did something to him
yeah,
later.
So he's got a whole big history.
Which we get in the second
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, well, every Ugh. One of them has a history, but the point is that this is about the X-Men. This is not the Wolverine movie.
Like, okay, for
this
example,
not,
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay, the great
which
thing
is about Spider-Man, it tells you Spider-Man's
right,
history.
Right. The great thing about the Spider-Man, which has an origin story, I'm not saying I hate
yeah.
all origin stories. What I like is I want the entire movie to work as a whole. I don't want to chop the movie in half and say... The first half is one movie, and the second half is another movie.
Please, Superman's a great movie, but that's exactly what it does.
Yeah, Superman. Yeah, I don't think Superman is a great movie.
Aaron, I got to tell you, you're on your own on this one.
Yeah,
on this
yeah,
one
yeah.
and that one, both. Well, of them.
I think all of them have been pretty weak.
Well,
so I
felt
was just
three,
as satisfied.
The
with,
big problem I had with three was some of the ideas behind it were okay, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
but it was so half baked Like, the dialogue felt like a half draft.
The dialogue was so bad. It was appalling.
Basic concepts hadn't been thought through.
What do you mean by that? I'm curious.
I didn't think the dialogue was...
I didn't have... No.
Oh, my God. That whole, like, we've got to be going off and we'll do it. Well, what do you think, Storm? I think that... I mean, it was just like...
Well, we haven't given Halle Berry a line in three pages. Quick, ask her opinion on something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, to me, I just thought one of the biggest problems of the movie is that people did things for no good reason. Or they treated situations that seemed like they should be very important... And they just kind of, you know, like people would die and you go, whoa.
Who was that?
Yeah, like, oh, that seemed like it should have been more important.
I didn't give a crap that Xavier died. It was so lame the way they blew out Xavier. It was like,
yeah, I mean, they kept doing that.
But it was great that they did it. It was such a cool idea. But yet you are right.
Yeah, it's a cool idea on the page, but...
I think they should have killed characters through all three of them.
I didn't get it.
You are... Look, I think it's great that they killed off some of their heroes.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that... Potentially, I think that's a fantastic idea. I do agree with you, however, it didn't have the emotional impact when it happened.
Well, that's, I mean, if you're going to be able to, otherwise.
Yeah. There's no reason to kill someone off if you don't care.
Yeah, if you have that tool to be able to kill off franchise characters, which rarely happens, use it. Use it to make us go, to be outraged. You know, if the guy with the shooty eye thing, who sucks in all the three movies,
right,
too.
Who's a nonsense character in Cyclops.
Cyclops' character should have been so much better than that.
Exactly.
I can't blame the actor. I'm not blaming the actor. I'm saying he was badly written.
Yeah. Know? And Jean Grey, what the fuck?
he's like a whiny guy, though, Cyclops. Yeah. I mean, he's like...
Cyclops... The whole idea of the Cyclops character is he's the visionary. He's the paladin of the group. He's the one who believes in the cause and holds things together. He's not interesting, but it doesn't work without him.
Yeah.
And they didn't give him that.
Well,
they tried
cool
to paint
power.
Storm as that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his power isn't that interesting. You got to make him interesting.
Yeah.
And they failed. And Storm... The way they painted Storm was the loving mother figure in this.
Well, the other thing
is an element of the character, but that's not the character.
The other thing with Cyclops that they never touched on is he's supposed to be a mathematical genius, and he's also supposed to be a geometrical genius. So he's able to figure out reflections and stuff like that with his eye beams and stuff. There's so many things with mathematical geniuses and stuff that you could do with this sort of nerdy Cyclops character that they never even went there. They just want him to brood, look good, and be basically a sounding board for Wolverine.
Well, and a joke.
And a joke.
Cyclops is a joke through all the movies. He's always the butt of Wolverine. Wolverine gets the upper hand in him in every situation.
Including his chick.
Which
was lame.
Someone's always stealing his car, you know, in every movie, except the last one. And he's got in sync. In one of in his car.
I almost felt like the actor walked off set.
Yeah.
And they just went, oh, shit. Can we get a digital guy there for 3 seconds?
I really felt that way, too.
Well, we didn't really see him get killed, either. I mean,
impact.
He dies off screen.
Yeah, which means...
Which means he's probably not
back. They don't have the balls to... you can tell. I mean, even if you've seen past the credits, they didn't have the balls to kill off Jean-Luc Picard. They should kill... If you're going to kill him off, freaking kill him off!
Well, they did kill off Patrick Stewart. I don't think they can afford to bring Patrick Stewart back for another three movies, you know?
Although I did like the digital... they made Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart young. That was pretty...
I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
I actually have seen this technology. I think it's called Lola. But I'm not positive. But I've been into the place where they actually do this, and I'm sure it's probably the same place. And they actually use this technology also for touch-up jobs these days.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think I may have talked about this once before on one of the podcasts, where they, for example, the dirt I've heard is that on Herbie the Love Bug, what's her name was so hungover.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. Every time she came in, she was so hungover and so just wasted from partying and whatever else she was doing that she had these...
This is hearsay, by the way, lawyers.
Yes. She had these deep, just dark eyes that they couldn't cover up with makeup. I mean, it just looked so bad. And they actually had to go to this company and have it fixed is what I've, you know...
That's heard, cheap.
Okay.
You know, heard through the grapevine. Hmm. So...
Okay.
So how about moving the bridge?
I should be
just
clear. I did not hear that from that company. I heard that through.
How about moving the stupid bridge and then being like the pawns are going to take over
the dumbest thing? God,
and send out the pawns. And then meanwhile, Jean Grey, who can re-affect the universe and is under your zombie control, is standing there like,
I'm not going to do anything.
Okay, and why? Explain this to me. In the second movie, we've established he can make a little disc and just carry himself across, right?
Yes.
In this one, he's going to rip up the bridge and carry it over to the prison, creating a convenient pathway for anybody else who should happen to want to come over and stop him.
It was really funny. My girlfriend's with me, and she doesn't care. I mean, she doesn't know from X-Men, from anything. But she leans over to him, and she goes, "He should have used the South Bay. It was closer."
Yeah.
I just cracked up.
She'd just climb on a boat and lift the boat over.
All right, and obvious thing that okay, I don't know if anyone else here is going to give a damn about. I started bitching to you about this, Aaron, and you just looked at me like I was crazy. Okay, the comic books, all right? The Dark Phoenix saga, for a Marvel comic books fan, is the Marvel story.
Yeah, and it didn't have anything to do with multiple personalities, did it?
No, it did
okay.
not.
Okay.
It did not. But
is the story behind it?
The basic premise of the Dark Phoenix saga is...
Dark Phoenix was Jean Grey, right?
Jean Grey is
Jean
the Dark
Grey.
Phoenix.
She... basically was willing to sacrifice herself during a re-entry situation to use her telekinesis to shield a shuttle from the heat of re-entry, knowing that she'll die in the process, but everyone else will be safe.
So instead of a big water splash, she gets burned up.
It's a burning thing.
That's
cool. What is supposed to happen is there is a massive kind of galaxy spread consciousness that is curious about life and is looking at Earth at the time. Mm-hmm. And it sees this sacrifice that she's willing to do, and it can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to try and understand what she's doing, it merges with her consciousness. It asks her to let it in. And the Phoenix power is not Jean Grey. It is this universal galactus-sized power that inhabits her and tries to understand mankind through her. Right?
My God, it's full of stars.
Exactly.
That's the plot line.
Okay.
But it's so powerful, and it doesn't have all of... our kind of fail-safes of conscience and
guilt
and all those sorts of things. But it has echoes of them, right?
Because of her. Okay.
So the basic premise is that it can't control itself entirely. She ends up going off and killing a planet by accident because she's hungry, I think, and fighting Galactus or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But long story short, the galactic police come to kill her. There's this big kind of arena battle, and she and Scott escape. She and Cyclops.
Mm.
And realizing they're right, I can't stop myself from doing this again. I feel that hunger. I want to do it again. She willingly sacrifices her. She kills herself. She commits suicide so that to protect the universe in front of Scott, right, of Cyclops. And it's the big romantic... horrific moment.
Right.
It's the quintessential self-sacrifice and depressing, bittersweet moment.
Because their
Universe.
Love story is supposed to be the heart of the X-Men story.
Well, right? Okay, so they transferred that story. They try to do that in a very
Wolverine with Twoove, you know,
I don't buy it, you know.
Come on. He's the only one who can survive, you know, gigantic atom-smashing girl. And, you know, she's got all the power in the universe, but she's only taking out Alcatraz. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you know, okay, for one thing.
So it was in my mind, I'm sorry, just to shove this in here to make you understand my point of view. It's like remaking Romeo and Juliet, where Romeo gets offed in the first 15 pages and you have Juliet hooking up with Mercutio.
Right. Okay. Well, it was quite obvious that Wolverine is the lead of all three movies.
Not arguing.
You know, and you actually can't have that storyline without they did it in Last of the Mohicans, you know, in the movie and the books. They didn't switch it out in the movie. And they could have done it here, but I think that they went the safe way, and it's like...
If you're going to do the biggest, most famous story from an entire mythos, right, you have to either do it right and well. I mean, if they did this well, I doubt I'd be complaining.
Right, yeah.
You have to either do it well or not do it.
Right.
And because, they shouldn't have done it.
I mean, what you just did was a very difficult explanation.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm summarizing 15 years of comics.
Right.
You know?
If you're going to do that sort of compartmentalized mind thing, that's fine, but don't make her into a zombie. I mean, there's so many better ways they could have done that.
Well, she didn't do anything.
She shook some drawers, though. I mean, yeah, you know, we've never seen that in Firestarter.
Let's stop for a second, because here's what seems to be the clear problem to me. They had a whole film that they could have and should have done that had everything to do about the mutant cure and nothing to do with the Phoenix. I mean, right. That would have been a great X-Men movie in right. and of itself, and it did not need anything to do it.
It's the Batman problem. Okay. They jam in too much crap.
They had a great movie that had to do with Phoenix going crazy and becoming the villain that they had to deal with that would have been fine in and of itself.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. So, like, all this character...
Absolutely.
Character evolution, character development that should have happened, they didn't have time for because they're trying to cram two movies into one.
Not only that, they're trying to cram the five sub-stories.
Armies of cameos, the Rogue storyline, the Angel storyline.
Right.
You know, and none of it getting even half-baked, right. like I was saying.
And we're going to take away Rogue's power because, you know, Anna Paquin isn't really as hot as Rogue is in the comic, and she's not really doing anything anyway, so let's just take away her power.
Well, no, part of the reason why is that her power, her powers kill any plot line. She's got the power. It takes away the bad guy's power.
Actually, no, I disagree. That's a power that they've been dealing with since the early 70s mm-hmm. in comic bookdom, and they've never had a problem balancing it in the comics.
But has it been like the transports fail every time? I mean, that's they do it in Star Trek, and it's always lame.
Either she gets taken out legit, or the other big one is like, oh, she tries to grab Magneto.
I think this was a legit. That was the plot line I liked.
I'm not arguing with it. I actually think it was a good story choice.
She picked
I didn't give a crap.
And they had nice little moments. Maybe. They did have nice little moments for her. I'll give you that. Like her standing online in front of the take away your powers clinic, which is suspiciously like an abortion clinic with the abortion protesters out front.
Come on.
And that was a nice little moment. But the rest of it was so whinily adolescent.
Yeah,
and I found it really
and
absurd.
The OC moment. It doesn't matter. She's going to get her cure. She's going to get her powers back, just like Magneto does. Right. Everyone's going to get their powers back.
And the OC moment with Kitty Pryde.
Thank God, because Mystique. I mean, I have a hard time not seeing
Mystique
her.
Mystique back.
I need Mystique
that
back.
Hurt.
That was so painful.
She's done. You know what they need to take back?
No, she's
that hot Asian girl who had the spikes from the second movie.
Lady Deathstrike, she's done.
No, I got to say.
I heard they had signed her up for the third movie. I was really kind of relieved they didn't.
Isn't that Biling?
No.
No, it wasn't Biling.
All I got to say is that Mystique is like the uber fantasy girl.
Okay? Yeah, I'm done.
No, she is. Number one, she can look like anyone. And number two, even when she's looking like what she looks like, she's smoking hot.
Yeah. Rebecca Romijn is nothing to sneeze at.
You can find a million of those girls.
But come on. Like, and Juggernaut. Could you not make Juggernaut look any cooler? I'm sorry. He had a big fake chest.
The
whole
Juggernaut versus Kitty Pryde thing kind of pissed me off.
Whatever. The guy had...
I have one thing to say.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. He had Ricardo Montalban's chest from Wrath of Khan.
They peed on themselves when they did that.
They
peed on their own work when they did that. They make a reference, an out-of-character reference to an obscure online bit that no one's going to remember in 5 years. Oh, come on. That's a loser thing to do.
I have no idea what that is.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch is a online cartoon that someone put together where basically you're following the Juggernaut around to one of the old X-Men cartoons where they've dubbed it. Mm. So every other line out of his mouth is like, come on, do you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
So it's a meme.
I thought that was so awful and like the worst line in the whole movie.
It's a reference to something that actually someone on our forums posted up on that.
Ugh, wow.
It's ridiculous. Ugh.
All right. Have we slammed this? So you guys liked it?
There's one other thing. No. They've introduced three more characters, right? That have they've set the characters up so that we know they exist. You have Iceman, you have Colossus, and you have Shadowcat. Okay, mm-hmm. Those are our three new X-Men.
Beast.
Got to say, Beast was awesome. He was the best thing out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
There's the huge thing of Beast.
I would have liked
losing his
more...
job with the president, and then he gets his same job back at the end, which is the big achievement for mutants.
No, he became an ambassador to the UN.
No, for God's sake.
I liked that.
Also, the way Beast fought was awesome.
Yes.
He was great in combat.
I actually would have liked to have a little bit more beastie dialogue coming from Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, like
I felt they didn't give him enough.
Yeah.
Like what?
He didn't say that much dialogue.
Yeah. I thought you were saying that the dialogue wasn't beastie enough.
Most of his dialogue was very kind of utilitarian, and the Beast character is very poetic. He's very eloquent. And Kelsey Grammer is incredibly eloquent.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, if any of you have seen him outside of Frasier, he's actually a solid, solid little actor.
Yeah.
And they didn't force him to stretch his chops at all. I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah. By the way, when Magneto goes, what have I done?
What the
Why did he say that?
Because that was where they're headed is the next movie, Magneto, I think, is supposed to become the caretaker for the X-Men. He's supposed to take Charles Xavier's place.
They're doing that storyline?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do next.
You know, there was one good line. Well, it wasn't a line, but one good scene where the young bratty a-hole fire guy says, I would have kicked that cripple's ass, and he said, Charles Xavier has done more for. That was kind of a touching moment because you kind of felt like, even though they were in a way arch enemies,
that was a good line.
They were good friends because they both had the same goal, which is to help mutants. Just one was different than the other.
Three more really quick bitches. All right, Colossus, what's up with that special effect?
Lame. And he's not Russian.
He just looked awful. That was the worst looking special effect I've ever seen.
You mean the liquid metal
possibly
guy?
Followed very quickly by Iceman's iced up form at the end.
Yeah.
Did we run out of money?
How's your throwing arm?
That whole got him on ropes, him on wires, throwing Wolverine around was lame.
I mean, not that they haven't done it, but they didn't do it cool. I mean, they've done it in a comic.
It looked really
lame. And it looked badass.
Well, yeah, but it works in a still frame. It doesn't work, and it looks lame.
So throw him so fast he blurs. You know, do whatever.
Yeah.
And last but not least, this is my comic book guy moment, if I've had any tonight. All right? Kitty Pryde walks through walls by phasing her molecules through them. All right? She does not part them like someone walking through water. All right? If she grabbed Juggernaut and sank him into a concrete floor and let him go,
he would die.
He would die instantly.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Okay, just dead. Outright, Kitty Pryde wins. Fatality. finish him.
His
molecules are going between.
The thing is, they've established if he has no momentum, right? No way to move. He can't break out of anything.
Right. And yet he does.
So they sink him into solid concrete where he has no momentum and no leverage, and he casually shrugs his way out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, stop peeing on your own goddamn writing.
How about the fact that they have the mutant they're fighting for that cancels all mutant powers, and yet it's Wolverine who goes up and... Why not just shove the kid at Jean Grey and then you're done?
Exactly.
Okay, that didn't actually occur to me.
I thought
it occurred to me why
she wasn't a mutant anymore.
Why didn't they use him and why didn't they use Rogue? Not her, the bald kid.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Is like I got the impression that Jean Grey wasn't really a mutant anymore.
She's a mutant. She was a mutant. She was still.
No, she was a mutant. But I kind of got what she is now is some like VR.
She's a level 5.
Fuck that.
She's a mutant, but she's just more powerful. She's a very
powerful. Yeah, I mean, throw Rogue at her.
Yeah, I would have been like, how's your throwing arm now? Throw the fucking kid at her. Oh, come on, bam! She's done. It's over. Storm done.
Well, that's what I thought they were going to do, but.
What? He couldn't throw the kid. The kid would make him lose.
Oh, right. Yeah, true.
Maddie, all right, guys.
Okay.
So
wait. I'm not saying it's a horrible movie. I actually really like it. I think it's going to be way better than Superman.
You feel positively about it?
I don't think it'd be way better than Superman.
It's a recommendation. Hold on. The question I have to you is, do you feel it's an adequate movie or do you feel it's a good movie?
It's definitely not a good movie.
Okay.
I feel it's an adequate movie.
By the way, do you guys think this is a trilogy?
I will grudgingly give you...
No, they're going to keep going.
But I've been hearing that people are like trying to package this up as like a trilogy. Like it makes sense as a three-parter.
It's supposed to be a trilogy. That was the original idea. But now I'm hearing stories, unconfirmed rumors, of a second trilogy being set up.
Yeah, but so you guys felt like this was a trilogy. Like this was a complete package.
I think that's how they're going to market it.
I think they're trying to wrap it up to move it and get it ready for the next cast.
They're heading up towards
it. To me, it just seemed like three movies.
And the next cast is going to contain Colossus, Iceman, and Shadowcat as its core. You know,
I don't think so.
Wolverine will always be it.
I don't think they'll be able to get him back for X-Men again.
Oh.
They'll have him for Wolverine.
They will pay
him
money because the people are not going to see X-Men.
They
make
cameo
Wolverine.
Him.
Yeah, he'll be there at least on some level.
I guarantee
either
you.
That or have a new Wolverine and a new Storm.
Either that or it's going to direct a DVD.
They should get rid of Storm. Because
they're going to have a new... Oh, please get rid of Storm.
I hate her. But
let me rephrase that. Keep Storm, get rid of Halle Berry. Thank you.
Oh, come on. She's poorly written.
Halle Berry, I'm sorry. She's very...
You've seen her knock it out of the park before?
Okay, look, the one movie that I saw her knock it out of the park in was Monsters Ball. And if you saw how much that was edited, look at the editing in that.
hey.
Okay, it's an, she does. She gives an amazing performance, but they edited that fucker together.
To this date, I still think she's a very beautiful woman who can't act. I have not seen any of these things. I would absolutely agree with you.
I've seen Introducing Dorothy Dandridge.
I was not that impressed.
Yeah, I was. I really thought she was fabulous.
I thought it was actually, most of what I saw was
I just don't think she should touch action films with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, who keeps giving her these superhero roles?
Again, yeah, she may be a bad actress. I don't know, but trust me, it's far beyond the movies. The James Bond movie
sucked. Which is basically a superhero movie. What's the one where she shows her boots? I wouldn't blame her. The Sharks one or whatever it's called. It's like a big heist film.
I know the movie you're talking about. Wolverine.
And, yeah, yeah, Hugh Jackman.
Breakout, not Watertown.
Barracuda?
I don't know.
Swordfish.
Barracuda. I knew it was a fish.
Watertown.
Watertown. Waterworld.
Watertown.
Swordfish. Yeah, that's it. I was so close. I was so
genius.
Close.
All right, let's hit our next subject.
All right, real quickly, we're going to move on to a second subject here. All right, we're not going to drag this episode on too long, but in honor of 666. Yeah.
It can't be ignored.
It can't be ignored.
Representations of Satan, of 666, and Armageddon in sci-fi and fantasy. I'm sure this is a very big topic that someday we'll probably revisit.
Yeah, we're just going to briefly touch upon it.
It's often tied to the apocalypse because the Antichrist will be marked with the number of the beast, which is 666.
Why is it the number of the beast?
Somehow.
I'm sorry, what?
We're associated with it somehow.
Associated. Well, then, yeah, exactly. But
not that it is, but why is it?
The number of the beast?
Why is it the number of the beast? I don't know.
There's all sorts of numerology in the Bible, and that's just one of them.
Is it because the Torah and everything in the Torah is, you know, has a numeric value and everything?
I heard in the Bible it's a reference. I've heard all sorts of stuff. The most recent thing I read was it's a reference to Nero.
What? Oh, I did hear that.
Saying that the reference in the Bible that refers to the fallen angel is actually referring to an evil king in the original version in the Torah. Apparently that evil king may have been Nero. I'm so not advocating that as the truth. Hmm. I'm just saying that's one of the things.
Well, I do recall hearing something along those lines.
Well, I know in Kabbalah that the actual alphabet of the Torah, or the actual Hebrew alphabet, each has a numeric value, and each of those numerals mean something very specific. So, like, you know, 3 is power, 4, you know, 5 is life, whatever it is. And so I don't know whether or not 666 specifically means something in Hebrew.
I don't know. But anyway, representations of it in sci-fi and horror.
Sorry.
So what are some of the famous representations of evil pertaining to this?
The Omen.
Well, The Omen.
It's a hard one to miss.
Right. And we have not seen the movie that opens tonight. But I don't know.
24.
I've seen the 70s version.
24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I was about to go check that.
You saw me mission for
it. It's supposed to be a shot-by-shot remake, which I don't know why
it's not a shot-by-shot remake, but it is a remake trying to stay true to the Donner film.
I don't understand a lot of the trailer shots from the earlier movie.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ripping off going on.
They should have just re-released it. It would be such a difficult thing to remake that film. Yep. It was done so well.
Well, if you're going to remake it,
they have Liv Schreiber in it, right? I love Liv Schreiber. I think he's genius. Mm-hmm. He's great. Who's the mother? Julia Stiles?
Yeah.
The boy doesn't look creepy enough.
The boy looks like he pouts his way through everything. He looks kind of like a Cabbage Patch doll. You notice the big
cheekies? He totally does.
He looks like a Cabbage Patch doll. He looks like Jeffrey that I used to have. Oh, wait.
No. The boy they got for the original was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because he was both very sweet looking and both so sinister and just evil. Like,
yeah,
angry.
He was a cute kid, then he would just...
Put the dog down, Damien. Put the dog down.
Looking at the trailer, it does look like a 70s movie for the new one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
They just don't have that announcer.
So The Omen. Don't see the remake. See the original.
The Prophecy.
The original.
Oh, The Prophecy. Good choice.
Yeah. Seventh Sign.
The Prophecy. Is that the one where the angels are back?
Gabriel's going back out. Michael's down. Michael gets killed in the first few minutes of it.
Christopher Walken.
That's the one where Satan's already revolted, but there's a second revolution. So there's a three-way war going on.
You see that dimple on your upper lip? When you're in heaven, I put my finger on your upper lip, and I say, shh, and that's why you have that.
It's so dumb.
I love that movie passionately.
Fucking
Seventh Sign, though, is a great
movie.
Satan
is played by Viggo Mortensen.
Wait, which film?
This is The Prophecy.
Prophecy.
You see Satan for like maybe 5 minutes at the end of the film.
And he's fabulous.
And he's terrifying. Like, I have never been terrified by anyone playing Satan in my life.
I can't even remember that.
I have to see this film again. Because I did see at least parts of it.
Prophecy,
I remember,
is a good B kind of late night with your popcorn film.
I seem to recall it was like Tremors good.
Yeah, exactly. For me, that's exactly what it was. I found the concepts
behind it were really solid and like well thought through and interesting, although not necessarily, you know, whatever.
I love the black eyes.
Yeah, the empty eye sockets, the lack of a navel.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I saw Prophecy 4 recently and that really hurt.
Yeah.
Constantine, does that fall under this category? Because it's got a kind of got a...
It's deliberately in the Antichrist.
They're conjuring up the Antichrist. That's the plot of the movie.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Absolutely is.
And that's got...
Gabriel's screwing up again. Right?
Gabriel's always the troubled angel.
It's always Gabriel, yeah. Why is that?
Because he's the most loved and the... Isn't he the most powerful, most loved?
I thought Michael was the most powerful.
Michael's the warrior.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, and he's John Travolta.
Right, exactly.
That's weird. Now, I'm really curious. I went to a Waldorf school growing up, and Waldorf school is sort of like a pseudo-Christian education. But the morning prayer every morning always invoked Saint Michael in some form
protection
or another. Isn't that kind of a weird thing to bring up in a non-Catholic school? I mean, we weren't Catholic.
Maybe they were afraid that you were going to die.
Read the book.
Okay. Since you mentioned books,
exactly.
What's that series called?
Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Well, there's Good Omens, which is great, which is about the apocalypse failing.
Yeah, the Antichrist getting raised by a bunch of
right. It's about the Antichrist,
nice Midwestern people.
Yeah,
it's about the plot of the Omen, where they go to give the Antichrist to the son of a diplomat. And they screw up and they mix up the kids.
Right.
So the Antichrist actually goes to a really nice sort of what would be the equivalent of Midwest family
in Dover.
Does another kid get sent off and try to get taught?
Another kid. Yes. It's exactly gets sent off and they're training this kid to be the Antichrist and he has no powers.
He has no powers.
That's sad.
There's even a great scene where they decide, okay, something's wrong here, so let's give the Antichrist a hellhound, right? And the hellhound will be whatever he needs it to be. It will hunt him down wherever he is. And they give it to the guy, and they promptly lose it. It just gets lost.
Yeah, because it knows where to go.
Yeah, the hellhound tracks down the right one across hell and high water. When it shows up, the thing he most wants in the world is a puppy.
A cute little puppy.
So it becomes this demonic hellhound puppy. You know?
Say that again, just like that.
Demonic hellhound puppy.
The Demi Moore movie I thought was Seventh Sign. I think that's an interesting movie because it brings up all sorts of kind of real creepy...
I've never seen the original that was based off of.
Neither have I. I didn't know there was an original.
Yeah, it's a remake. I don't know what it is.
What do you mean? Of the Bergman film?
No. Seventh Seal?
That's why I thought Bergman.
I didn't know there was a... But I love the whole idea of... The priest who's been walking around since Christ was hung on the cross because he's the
wandering Jew, right?
He's Pilate.
No, he's the guard who strikes Jesus. He strikes him down, and so he's cursed to walk the earth until the end of time.
Right, so he wants it done.
So, yeah, he's like, let's get this going because I'm done living on the earth. Let's get this moving. And I think that's creepy as hell.
I don't remember this film. I must not
well,
have seen
there's
it.
The basic. Is it The Guff? Is
it's
what
good.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a good film. It's worth
the Guff.
It's a good, yeah,
it's great film.
It's a little 80s.
It's a little 80s.
It's a,
but,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
The Guff is this place where all babies' souls are stored. And as they are born, a soul comes from the Guff and goes into.
Something about the Guff is empty, though, right?
Yeah, then the Guff is empty. And as this child is born, her child is the first child that will be born without a soul.
Got it.
And that's the. Yeah. Final sign. Yes.
It's very interesting because it has Christ, and he is creating the signs at the beginning of the film. He goes and he breaks bread over the Red Sea, and suddenly just dead fish just wash up.
Whoa,
on the
that I don't remember.
Yeah.
The cool thing about...
I thought that was the soldier that did all those things.
No.
The
cool thing about that
really?
Is that Christ is scary in this whole thing.
Yeah,
you think he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so nefarious. Like, he's the guy who lives out in, like, the back house.
Yep.
and you're like, what is up with this dude? He's got to be the bad guy.
He makes ice fall on this desert city. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So you think you don't get that he is Jesus until later on because it's frightening.
Yeah.
But it's a good twist.
Let's see. There's a movie. I wish I could remember the title. Oh, man. This was a fun Saturday afternoon movie.
With the devil.
A priest is assigned two different women to take a look at and investigate. Both of them apparently immaculate conceptions. And what he basically basically what he figures out
not
is
a comedy.
One of them is bearing the second coming, and one of them is bearing the Antichrist. Right? And he's got to try and figure out which one is which by the end of the movie. And
weird.
Acts of horror are happening around both of them, and acts of miracles are happening around both of them. Does anyone remember this movie?
Not at all. I want to watch it.
It's a, like an early 80s, late 70s movie. And then the last thing I remember in the movie, I don't remember anything else, was you're not clear on what happened. If one of them got killed, both of them got killed, it's not really clear. But at the end of the movie, there's this two different schools are going back in after recess, right? And there's this highway down the middle between both of them. And as the boys' school is going up the steps, one of them turns around and you see like a nun running across the road, and his eyes turn red, and a car swerves out of the way and hits the nun. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, Antichrist, blah 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 blah. And then you look over at the other side, the girls' school, and this little girl turns around and looks at the nun, and her eyes glow blue, and the nun breathes again and sits up. And you're like,
That's interesting. Did you guys see all of the Omen movies?
No.
I saw the last one.
I saw
one.
The first one.
I saw the first the girl. Well, the last one was the one that had like a little girl in it.
No, that's not the one I saw. I saw the one where he's a grown-up.
Yeah, that's three.
Okay.
I think they actually did a fourth one that was like
I saw the first
terrible.
One, which was good. I saw the second one, which was like, And yeah. I didn't see any other ones. You saw the other ones?
The third one is when he's a politician.
Okay. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
It was...
Thumbs sideways.
Is he still the Antichrist and trying to...
No, yeah. And
he's actively trying.
He's active, and he knows that the second coming is going to be born. So he is going to try to find it and kill all the babies born on a certain day. It's very interesting, but... Yeah.
Very Herod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's average. Actually, it's kind of below average, but it's not like the Omen, which was pretty...
So we can't
the fourth
be
one.
Pass up... Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to move on to the next subject. Oh.
And the fourth one?
I didn't see the fourth one. It just seemed too horrible.
Well, the thing we can't, of course, pass up is just mentioning briefly the Left Behind book series.
Yeah. Now being made into
video game.
Okay. Have you read the article on this?
I can't give it. I can't. The article seems so slanted. I can't tell how much of it's made up.
We have read an article that is basically implying you will be... this is all implication. I have not read an official review release from this at all.
Yeah.
Apparently, you score points by killing non-believers, like Jews, Islamics, Buddhists...
Sinners,
homosexuals, and people who aren't Christian enough.
Yeah, so that's why
you have
I
to
think,
convert them. But if they don't convert, you got to kill them.
That's why I think the article was too slanted to give an accurate.
Yeah, it sounded
like,
pretty
and
biased.
And Christian moderates. I was like, come on. It's like
it sounded pretty damn biased. But
yeah, so I'm curious to see what it's really like.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the opening, the trailer for the thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's actually very well put together. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed by the opening cinematic.
Seems like there's going to be a lot of money involved. I mean, there's a lot of money involved in the books. I hear they're trying to make movies.
Christian stuff is big business, you know?
All right, do we want to hit our quick bit?
Sure.
Are we done with...
I think we've hit 666 enough.
It's just a taste.
A little taste of the devil. Okay, real quickly, we haven't done a bit in a while.
We've done a bit
forever. We should do like some techno babble or something coming up. So.
Demon Lord.
But because we were talking about superheroes again, by the way, we got completely blasted on the forums about our
not big fans of our last episode.
No, not at all. So anyway.
We are comic noobs. Guide us, lead us into the
new
world.
So give us some lists of things to read, especially some indie.
Better yet,
publishers.
Send them to us.
Well, we have some requests right now for manga stuff.
Yeah, anime.
And we're going to get blasted for that, too.
Yeah, well, no matter what we pick, we're going to get blasted on that. And for American indie.
Right.
Stuff.
Yeah, and we're talking about, I don't think we covered any books that actually came out of indie publishers last time. So if you've got some great books out there that come from independent publishers, we'd love to hear about them. And
I have an indie comic book friend who I have an indie comic book publisher friend and an indie comic book artist friend.
Okay. Or maybe
a comic named Big Foodang.
I am also in contact with the guys at GoneAndForgotten.com, which are comic book historians. They are the ones who have all of these crazy comics which got remaindered. So
also, one of our fans or listeners, I don't know if he's a fan, one of our listeners sent us a link to a website he's involved with, which is awesome. It's the it's called comicbookdb.com, and it's essentially they're trying to create the IMDb of comic books, and it's just started up.
That's
so
cool.
It's a little thin right now, but
it looked like a great place to start from.
Yeah, people are filling it up fast. They've got the cover arts of all the things that are being released now. You could look up any superhero, and the bios are filling up. It's kind of a wiki type of situation, mm-hmm. so everyone needs to contribute to fill it up. But I know some of our listeners should be in there and writing, because there's some obvious fans out there who know what they're talking about. So go there, sign up, and contribute, because this looks like it's set up really well.
It's just fun to browse. I was really impressed by
it. I don't even read comic books, and I was clicking through the whole thing, and it's well designed. It looks great.
Yeah, easy to use.
It's easy to use. So everybody go to comicbookdb.com.
Now, I was actually kind of curious why they didn't do cbdb.com, like IMDb.
Because that's there's no way they could afford that.
Well, actually, someone else has already got it. Same name.
Yeah, they probably had to pay too much.
But it's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look nearly as good.
Well, somebody else has it. They can't use it. But yes, go check it out. It's great. So our bit this week.
Okay.
Gleaming off the comic book residue of the last two, we want to do some matchups again.
Versus.
These are heroes.
Or villains.
Or villains. If they were going to battle each other, who would win?
And discuss. Talk amongst yourselves.
I have a hard time with these superheroes because I don't read comic books. So
okay.
I'm going to start out with one. I stuck with sidekicks.
Ooh.
And one thing is, I guess I'm not a big comic book reader. I thought everybody had sidekicks, but quite honestly, I couldn't think of any sidekicks.
It's a minority.
I thought everybody had sidekicks, and then I'm sitting there doing research, and I'm like, there's hardly any.
It was sort of a craze in the 50s to try and get younger readers to read comic books. They wanted you to have a way in.
Yeah. Huh. Well, anyway, so not all these are superheroes, but my first one, Gabrielle... who is the sidekick of Xena versus Willow, the sidekick of Buffy.
That's so sad. Willow.
Willow would destroy
Willow
her.
For the win.
Willow for, well, at the end of the season, Willow,
yeah.
Or at the beginning
yeah.
of
at
the
beginning.
Gabrielle would have no skin within seconds.
I think actually what they would do
Untrained
is just
Willow.
Make out.
I'll have to buy that.
Valid point.
You're right.
girls, kiss and make up.
Exactly.
All right, so that's my first one.
Peter?
Superman versus Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Really?
You have no molecules.
Right, and Superman.
Well, I was kind of thinking the same thing.
And Superman would go...
But I want to counter that. All right.
No, wait a minute.
Aaron
The super cop, Universal cops are going after. How are they doing it?
I mean,
she has
she
some
was
weakness.
Good at that point.
Movie
she
version.
Was trying not to disintegrate people.
If Wolverine can walk toward her, I guarantee you.
She didn't destroy. If she wanted him dead, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
She was just trying to hurt him.
But you guys know comics better than me.
I'm going to throw an extra one at you with this one, and you'll clue into this one. Firestorm versus Phoenix.
Ooh.
Same powers. Hers are a little broader.
Well, Firestorm couldn't just instantly. He shot a nuclear blast.
He could rearrange molecules.
That's true. Inorganic molecules.
Well, eventually he figured out that was just a mental block.
And oh, really?
It's organic ones too.
Oh man, I stopped reading by then.
Or for that matter, Molecule Man versus Phoenix. It's the same basic.
That's premise. A kick. I mean, that superpower is just too super.
Yeah.
To just read
at some through. Point, it's like
yeah, that's why eventually you just write them out.
Yeah.
She can do more than just rearrange molecules. She can also move things, and her powers are broader than
beat
that. Correct.
Minds.
Yeah.
I think that she would be able to beat them because she can read their mind and know what they were about to do, and then counter.
Well,
it.
She sounds like a stupid hero. You can't do that.
Well, the plot line was that was the plot line. She was just too powerful,
and she's God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she was actually much weaker.
Except even the gods in the Marvel universe had more limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was the weakest of the X-Men for a long time.
Yeah. Ant-Man versus Atom.
Now, Ant-Man, I've heard, is a comedy, right?
No, not necessarily.
Is there, the movie
well,
here
the movie
is,
will be a comedy.
Okay, but
the Atom.
The Atom's like Superman.
The Atom can go smaller, but plus he gets more dense as he gets smaller, so he gets stronger. I mean, he's harder to
But Ant-Man comes with an army of ants.
Yes.
Yes, but those army of ants aren't going to do anything to someone that's so dense that the ant can't bite him and do
it. But he could be itchy.
But the Atom can grow, though,
but
can he?
But he has to grow at a certain point in order to affect you.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Which point the ants can eat him.
The Atom could get really small. He could go inside you, walk through your nostrils, and then expand.
Well, yeah, but
it would take a long time, but he could do it.
But not only that, but the Atom can grow into a normal size. He just steps on the ants.
The ants could build a gigantic anthill that he could never find his way out of.
The ants are super ants, I'm assuming. Otherwise, like, oh no, you've got ants coming after at me. Oh, I fear your power.
Ant-Man's stupid. Why would he even write a
comic? I don't know.
It's like okay. Spider-Man.
All right. Crossing universes. The X-Men's Iceman. Versus Firestorm's arch nemesis, Killer Frost.
Oh.
I don't know Killer Frost.
Killer Frost is kind of like the
But Iceman versus Mr. Freeze.
She was very much like Mr. Freeze. Yeah. She survived off of other people's body heat and can control ice.
A lot of kissing and
the
stuff.
Only way to actually defeat her was to lock her in a place where there was no heat and she'd just freeze herself.
Well, then obviously
she was
Iceman
pretty powerful.
Defeat her.
No, because she could suck out his heat.
Yeah,
but Iceman doesn't have any heat because he's cold.
He still has heat.
No, he doesn't.
He's not
heat.
Absolute zero.
He can turn cold. He turns into an ice form. He walks around. He's ice. He has no heat.
I think he's coated in ice.
I think he's ice.
I don't think.
I think he's as cool as ice.
He's coated, and then he animates the ice.
All right, stop.
I think that he could
collaborate.
I think
and
that
listen.
He could like create walls of ice around her and just lock her and walk away.
See, but she could do that too.
Ice, man.
Yes, but once she's locked in, she can't get rid of it, can she? Because
well, neither could he.
Yes, but
she could just do it to him first.
All right, I call a tie. Let's move on. Okay. Matt?
Yes?
I know you're a fan of one of these.
Okay.
Ernie Lee.
Okay.
Ernie Lee.
Which I know you guys don't know. Ernie Lee was the little kid kung fu guy in Sidekick.
Oh, God.
No. Ernie Reyes Jr. is his name.
No, that's the actor's name.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the character's name.
Oh, the character's
Ernie
name.
Lee.
Oh, sorry.
Ernie versus Ray. Short Round.
Well, I mean, the Short Round, you have the whole, I feel like I'm working on fortune cookie, you know, kind of thing.
But the other guy has Gil Gerard backing him up.
Short Round in the Indiana Jones movie, or the same actor who played him in Goonies with all the special effects and weapons.
No, it's got to be Short Round.
Got to be Short Round.
Short Round versus Ernie Lee.
Ernie would kick his ass.
No.
Whoa!
Short Round would take his inhaler and run. Without his inhaler, Ernie Lee would be down in minutes.
All right.
He would take his inhaler and show him a picture.
Are you gonna run after him? What on the books?
Wolverine
like strapped to his feet.
All right, Peter.
Wolverine
turn.
Versus the Blob.
The Blob.
I think that's happened actually.
Yeah.
I think the Blob is
in the '50s.
The Blob. No, the Blob is a very giant guy who's.
Superpowers,
huge and heavy.
Obesity.
His superpowers.
He's invulnerable. You can't.
I need to get into comic book writing. This is insanity.
You can't.
Ant-Man and the Blob. Who's thinking of this shit?
The whole thing about the Blob was that
swastika
you
girl.
Hit him
Aaron.
As hard as you want, it doesn't do anything. Nothing. Affects him. In fact,
well, his power was immovability. Actually, once he set his feet, you couldn't move.
No, you're both right. He did have nearly impenetrable skin.
Yeah, but it was invulnerable.
The fat provided lots of padding.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus Wolverine,
yeah.
The fight would last forever.
No, Wolverine would kill him.
Wolverine would kill him.
You think so? How?
Yeah.
Claws.
Yeah. Well, the adamant.
I think he. Probably
I think he
could.
Does actually. He does something and he goes. Woo-hoo!
He'd wait until he had to eat, and then cut his skin because he has to move to eat.
I think Wolverine would probably stab him in the eyes, which probably aren't invulnerable. Either that or the Blob might fall on top of Wolverine and just lay there while he suffocates.
All right, Matt.
Xan versus Jaina.
Just be a big old
the Wonder Twins.
The water guy always sucks. I mean, come on. He can't do anything.
Form of a bucket.
Just be a big
Jaina.
Fight.
Jaina?
Yeah, she could just drink.
Or Gleek. She just form of an elephant and suck him up.
Yeah. Shoot him out. Nostril. Yeah. All right, Don.
All right. Gleek versus Scooby-Doo.
The monkey, the purple monkey.
Scooby-Doo kicks some ass.
I don't know. Gleek's got that super tail.
Gleek would just throw some food and Scooby be done.
Mm. All right. Here's a old school sidekicks. Tonto versus Kato.
Kato would whoop Tonto's ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Tonto get to bring the horse?
No, it doesn't matter. Even with the horse, Kato.
What do you mean,
would
we, white man?
Jump up and kick him off.
Yeah, he's got man. A Kato and kick his
Kato
ass.
All right, that's it for me.
Beat his ass. Magneto versus Xavier.
Been done, and so Xavier's beaten him almost every time.
Almost?
And the thing about Xavier is that Xavier never uses his actual powers unless he goes evil. And when he goes evil, he's almost unstoppable.
But he has the little helmet.
Yeah, but. I mean, Xavier always finds ways around it.
I guess he could control the guy standing next to him.
Yeah, Xavier, when he actually goes evil, he can jump into other people's bodies. He does control. It's always, I'm like, where are these powers when he's actually good?
Right.
Yeah. No, not loving it.
All right, anybody else?
Nope,
that's it.
All righty. Well, another shorter episode, thank God. Do we have any email or anything?
I had one mail. Okay. That was it. I had to read it because the guy's name was Sand Vagina.
We can
anyway.
Get that out, right?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to thank you for making me realize how much of a geek I am.
We've had this email like 10 times.
I never realized that I was a geek. I always loved video games and role-playing and other such geeky activities.
And you didn't know you were a geek.
As well as some physical activities like handball and skateboarding. No, you're still a geek. I guess the signs were all there and I wasn't making a connection between loving the original Star Trek episodes and movies without being born during the time they were first released to the 15-hour video game sessions of Age of Empires 1 and 2. Anyway, I love your show so much that this will be my first email to any podcast, online comic, or radio station, etc. If you guys are ever in New York City, I will have to invite you to the bar I work in and have a few drinks.
Actually,
that's cool.
Some of us go to New York fairly frequently.
Yes.
Well, so keep his email and you can have a drink.
Woot. He also wants us to talk about favorite video game characters in a future episode.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
That's a great topic.
Well, okay. If you are listening to our voices, you are in some way a geek.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
It seems fairly likely.
Either that or you are
or in love with
mistaking us for some other podcast and you're
really should not. Have done.
This is not, in fact, Jock's On.
Not Ricky Gervais.
You are incredibly stoned. You're going, I don't get it.
Yeah. All righty, everybody. Till next time,
we've done another one.
Have a good geek week.
Woohoo! Be well.
Rock it out.